It's your favorite radio show on Cairo Radio. It's Cairo Nights. G and Mace, happy Wednesday to all of you. Means the world, guys, is to the show, the Online Trading Academy text line. It's 98973. If you want to check in and say hi to us, add to the conversation, or just tell us how great you are. Either way, we love hearing from you. Brother Mace, how you doing?
I'm good. I got a question. Is this allowed to be my favorite show on Cairo Radio, too?
I would hope so.
All right, cool.
What do you got?
I just wanted to be sure.
Oh, that's your question.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I was allowed. Because, okay. You know, you can't give yourself a nickname, and I'm not sure if you can like your own show the best.
Well, you know, there's another guy that's with us every single day who's on the ones and twos.
Oh, yeah.
And he's on other shows sometimes during the day. Maybe.
That's true.
I wonder if this is his favorite show.
It is, yeah. It is. Yeah. No question. It is my favorite show. On radio in general.
DB. Oh, let's get right to it.
Here's the top three things we need to discuss. Number one.
Well, primary elections were held yesterday across the great state of Washington. A lot of new things. The new VoteWa system was put into place where all 39 county auditors and election directors could talk to each other and get live feedback on stuff. There is a press release from Secretary of State Kim Wyman, who says that we could not be more pleased with the performance of the system last night. The partnership between our committed election staff and administrators was evident as the data rolled out. As of 2 p.m. today, there is a 28.5% turnout of registered voters, over 3,000 new voters on Election Day alone. Almost 8,000 additional voters took advantage of same-day services. These numbers might go up as all the numbers roll in, but that's pretty decent. And as far as turnout goes, according to this press release, we have not seen this level of voter engagement since 2009, when the final turnout was 31%. So, gee, a lot of stuff to talk about, including some individual races.
Right,
and you
right.
know how we do here. We like to bring in people smarter than us.
You know it.
The experts.
Mm-hmm.
And this gentleman.
Why is this gentleman really smarter than us?
I'll tell you why, because he's been for 24 hours now. in front of the screen, locked in, tabulating all the results, taking a look at all this stuff. And that is, of course, My Northwest, Dyer Oxley. Hello, Dyer.
Good evening, everybody. I wasn't sure if you were talking about me there for a second. It's very complimentary, which is not usually the greeting I get.
Yeah, I let G play bad cop, and
okay.
I play good cop.
All righty.
So what's up, Dyer? What's going on?
So folks have probably been tuning in to this one election more than any others. Yes, our levies passed, all that jazz, except the Seattle City Council race is the thing that everybody's been watching. Obviously, the most concentrated population here. Mm-hmm. A lot of what happens in Seattle steers the ship in Washington, so to speak. So what happened? There was this big, big wave of effort to change things on the council because we had 7 seats out of 9. This was a big election for folks. And so everybody that's been talking all day, what happened during the primaries? This is what you need to know in a nutshell. All the incumbents who were running made it in.
All of them.
They made it in because the top 2 vote-getters, those are the ones going to the November ballot. Those are the ones we are presented with in November. All of them. That's Herbold, Sawant, and Juarez.
Okay.
So a lot of folks are putting a lot of effort to try to unseat those people. The temperature that we're taking here is that not only did they make it in, but they made it in with a lot of the vote. Mm. I was looking up today. Herbold gained an extra point. She's at 49%.
Wow.
Of the primary votes. Sawant got 34%. These are just the numbers I just got a little bit ago. And Juarez got 43%. These are not, you know, insignificant takes.
Yeah.
So the other point that I'm going to bring up here is, other than the fact that maybe not the biggest change folks were pushing for, but there was one thing that I pulled out that I'm not sure folks are really observing quite yet.
Hmm.
And that's District 3. District 3, of course, if we all think about a council member, who do we think about on the Seattle Council?
Shama Sawant.
Shama Sawant. That's her district. Shama Sawant took in, what did I just say there?
34%.
Significant chunk. She's taken in more before.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, the guy that they got going up against her now is Egan O'Ryan.
Okay.
Right? And this is not very scientific what I'm about to do here, so nobody go too harsh on me here. But eventually, when you look at these things, when you look at candidates and who they took in the primary, you start to tabulate, okay, well, if these people aren't on the ballot anymore, who are their voters going to go for? And you start clustering people up.
Sure.
You ball them up over here and you ball them up over there. So Watt's probably going to get DeWolf's votes, another guy that was on the ballot.
Okay.
But the other folks, I don't know. I could see them going for this other candidate.
Uh-huh.
And if we actually kind of split this field of voters, you know, unscientifically,
yeah,
Orion has a pretty good shot at actually unseating Sawant.
Wow. That's really difficult in any, regardless of politics, when you have as much name recognition as she does, it's very difficult to unseat that individual.
And an
sometimes.
Incumbent. That's usually a sticking point, too.
Yep.
Muhammad Ali, you say they call it the rope-a-dope, where Muhammad Ali kind of lets you beat on a little bit, you know what I mean? Get to a little strategy. People can say what they want to about Sawant. When it's time to get down and do it, she's going to get to it. Mm-hmm. She's already got people in District 3, in the sister district right now, already volunteers going around talking about rent control. She's going to go very, very hard. Now, kind of surprising that the fact that she has a close competition. So we're going to see come November. But like you said in what you wrote, and the biggest conversation is with everything, with all of the naysayers and what people have been hearing and saying about the Seattle City Council and the Seattle government and all of the negativity. And you thought that this time, this primary, we're going to finally see the change. And Dyer, you said it best. You said all of the incumbents, all of them are good.
Yeah.
I thought people wanted some change. Now, first of all, I'm not the one sitting here that's been blasting them. There's been some problems.
Yeah.
I don't make it an all-the-time thing to blast them. But the voters spoke and basically said, Seattle's not as bad as we think.
And we still have until November to really see results of that, right? Like Dyer just said, even in the Sawant situation, there's a chance that she could be outvoted. But
I got one last point.
Yeah.
I don't have the numbers in front of me.
I got some from you right here.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you this. No, here's an opinion. I don't think a lot of people really came out and voted for this. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think all the Sawant supporters, the ones that's really timed to it, they probably hit Sawant up on the phone and said, hey, don't worry about it. We were just relaxing right now. November, we'll be there. Now, what's the numbers on votes? How on people voting?
So here's this is when I was calculating up, okay, who's going to split their vote somewhere. But, I mean, if we're just going straight by the votes, just a little over 5,200 went for Egan. Just a little, about 7,700 went for Shama. Okay? We had about a 32% turnout in that district.
Oh.
Which is a significant number.
It's not bad.
Especially in an off-year primary election.
So basically 68% didn't vote?
I mean, welcome to America.
We have five other candidates plus write-ins and all that. To my point earlier, if we're just going to go by this, unscientifically speaking,
okay,
if we added up everybody who would probably go for this person, that person, putting everybody in a box like we never like to do, Egan Orion could take in 53%, added up all those votes, and Shama only ends out with 47%. Again, stereotyping in boxes, but it does kind of paint a picture of where things could be steering in that district.
Lots of stuff to still pay attention to. If you're interested in keeping track in real time, you can go over to MyNorthwest.com where Dyer has all of the updated results all night long.
Love you, Dyer.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
You didn't even say you love me back.
Number two.
The Food and Drug Administration has been investigating the effects of vaping and e-cigs on the overall health of users. And the investigation is taking place due to reports of seizures and serious lung damage in users. So today it was revealed by the FDA that 127 reports of seizures and other neurological issues have been found with a potential connection to vaping. The FDA is not yet ready to pin these reports on vaping alone, although it is likely a contributing factor. Now, in addition, it's being widely discussed, G, that e-cigs will cause serious lung damage in teens. That's according to a study by the Department of Health Services in Wisconsin. And in an attempt to discourage teens from vaping, the FDA is releasing a series of commercials. You remember the Your Brain on Drugs kind of ad.
Worked for me.
Yeah, nobody wants their brain fried in a frying pan. The first one released follows a charismatic British man out on the street supposedly performing magic tricks with people's e-cigs, making them disappear or turn into regular cigarettes.
Some people think that vaping is no big deal, but that is just an illusion.
Do you vape?
Yeah.
You do? Do you have a vape with you today?
Yeah.
I see. Oh, okay, cool. I want to hold your hand up for me. I'm going to take the vape like this. I'm going to put it into your hand like that. Okay, this is what I'm going to do, okay? Okay, here we go. Watch very carefully. Boom. Did you know that if you vape, you're more likely to start smoking cigarettes? It's not magic. It's statistics.
So, G, in April, the FDA, it said that it received 35 reports of seizures related to vaping, particularly in younger users. There have been 92 reports since then. The FDA, again, emphasizing there's no real clear pattern right now, but cases were reported in first-time users and experienced e-cigarette smokers. Quote, seizures have been reported as occurring after a few puffs or up to one day of use, the FDA said in April.
You know how I feel about this, but I'm gonna keep it really simple. I just don't understand how more people aren't nervous about the vaping. I don't understand that. Because you look back to commercials in the 50s and the 60s where, I mean, you remember, like, doctors were smoking cigarettes.
They were, like, prescribing cigarettes to pregnant women.
Yeah, like cigarettes.
Yeah.
So that was then, and then now we know what we know now about cigarettes, like, oh, that wasn't a good idea.
Right.
So now here we are, something new again. Haven't we learned our lesson?
Well, like, we're very susceptible to marketing. And when these companies came out and when this industry started, it was pitched as a safe alternative to smoking, right? And that may not be necessarily true, but it takes a lot of time to build up real scientific data, a real case against that. So in the meantime, these companies have gone on to explode around the globe and now make billions of dollars.
I just don't understand how people ain't waiting.
Number three.
Oh, this is my favorite story. Mm. If you're sick of the standard stadium nachos and burgers found at CenturyLink Field during football season, boy, are you in luck, because there is some new food at the stadium. Several familiar Seattle restaurant names have now been added to those selections. King 5 TV's Michael King was down at CenturyLink with the executive chef of the stadium, Matteo Cassini, to see what will be new this fall. Chef Matteo went through a list of very delicious-sounding foods.
We're showing the Seattle cheesesteak right in front of you here. This is going to be in our Pacific Northwest Marketplace. It's our take on a famous sandwich with cream cheese, awesome country natural beef, peppers, and onions. Next, I have a chicken and biscuit.
Oh, look at that.
That is a local-made biscuit from Coffee Clutch with Ezell's fried chicken tenders, country gravy.
Combined with Ezell's.
Ezell's, cool. Yeah. Ezell's is a great partner for us. We love working with them. Down in the front here, we've got an Oberto hot link. This thing's spicy. I mean, it's going to warm you up, especially in the winter months. We've got a delicious sauerkraut enhanced with a little local cider and some sliced apples. Next, we have chili and cheese loaded potato and broccoli cheese loaded potato. You're going to find these at our stand, Local Eats in 341.
And of course, they're going to have what I consider to be the standard for comparison of stadium foods, the Hempler hot dog. That is a classic family recipe, uniquely crafted with the perfect blend of spices, providing an authentic European flavor.
Okay, let's get into it. First of all, we all like food, love food, so we can talk food all day long. I'm the only person in the world that can eat food and watch a chef show. What? That's so weird.
Oh, no. Nothing better than eating and watching food.
Oh, am I not the only one?
No.
I eat food and watch it. People make food. That's some gluttony right there. Anyways, here's what stands out to me. And, get ready. I am getting ready to get some mad people that text me. Look, we're family still, and it's okay. 98973, get ready. You can text me and say some bad things about me. Taco Time is overrated. And it has no business being in the stadium.
Ugh.
If I want football and if I'm visiting in from out of town, which is a big deal when people come in from out of town, they want to go to a Seahawks game, they're coming in town, and I'm like, oh, some Taco Time, That is just, I mean, look, I get it. It's a Northwest staple. You guys love it here. You know you got to take out a mortgage or a home loan to get you some. But that's another story in itself and how expensive it is. But I'm sorry. It's overrated and it's definitely no place in a stadium. I told you. Send your hate mail.
Oh, my goodness. I'm not even going to dignify that with a response because I am so excited about Ezell's chicken. And and gravy. And,
Thank you, Mace. Ooh. Thank you. So you got Ezell's chicken. You excited about that? Yeah. And gravy. And then you got taco time. you got the Seattle cheese steak. You got the Pecos Bar Pit Barbecue. Or Bardo Hot Links.
Yeah.
You got all this goodness. And then taco time. Sorry, y'all. I told you. Watch. I'm gonna get some hate mail. DB. We got a new thing called DB's Deep Dive.
Yeah, we got to get a sounder or something for that.
I'm on it.
Thank you, Aaron. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I was talking yesterday about how Spotlight, we have just sort of gone through all of our spotlights. And so I have proposed the DB's Deep Dive. A listener suggested that each day for this deep dive, I do something different, something totally sort of different and weird. And so I've come up with like successive days. Each day is going to have its own thing.
Uh-huh.
Monday is going to be Music Monday, music to get you going on the week.
Love it.
Song suggestions coming from listeners, coming from me. Tuesday is Foods Day, or also Tasty Tuesday, whichever you guys like.
Okay.
That's going to be, I'm just going to talk about a great Seattle eatery or a Seattle area eatery, anywhere around in, you know, some of the spotlight areas.
Yeah.
Going to those places. I love going and eating over the weekend. Tuesday will be my day to give you some recommendations for that. Thursday is going to be Thankful Thursday. That's just going to be things that you're thankful for. We're all going to talk about the things that we're thankful for.
Positivity.
G, during Thanksgiving, you had talked about this of like, what are we thankful for? And I really like that. And so I want to bring that in on a weekly basis of what we're thankful for that week. Flashback Friday, where we're going to listen to a little piece of tape from Cairo of yesteryear, of this day in Cairo radio history. That one's gonna be super fun. So Wednesday is actually the only one that I do not know what to do with. I have several different options. One of them is Weirdo Wednesdays, and that's just looking up weird stories.
But
that's sort of Mace's thing. Like, I had a weirdo story for today, and then I found out, Mace, you have that on the docket for your stories tonight.
Yeah, no
so
kid.
I don't know. That it could be that. It could be Workout Wednesday, where we talk about good sort of healthy workout things, which is, I don't know about that. Wordy Wednesday, where I just sort of dissect a weird word. Or Wistful Wednesday, where we just talk about what we are hoping for, what we wish for.
I like weirdo.
99.73, what should we do on Wednesdays?
By the way, before we get out of here, I just want to say the text line, hold up, the text line lit up in Cairo Nights family. I am shocked. A lot of y'all agree with me. A whole bunch of people, except for 206. 206 says, come on, G. Taco Time is fresh.
Yes.
My 6-year-old daughter is mad. Is going to be mad at you. She loves Taco Time. But my good buddy Chris Brown texted me. She said it's overrated. Everybody agrees. Okay. We got to get out of here. Rachel Bell comes up next. Cairo Nights, GMAs. It's time for Rachel Bell. Brother Mace, you ready for that?
I'm born ready.
Good, because I'm already here.
That's right. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're called Cairo Nights.
Mm-hmm.
Means the world to you guys. Listen to the show. Hey, Rachel Bell, what's up?
Well, I got a story about dating. So a lot of people use dating apps, and I've had a couple of friends like this. Like, they are looking for a partner. They are on a mission. People are going on tons and tons of dates. A lot of the time, just first dates, maybe a second date, and it's like, on to the next person, on to the next person, which I'm sure a lot of people are on a date, and they go to the bathroom, and they're, like, swiping, you know, when they're in the bathroom already looking for someone else. But new research, or maybe it's not that new, from Match.com's chief scientific advisor, Dr. Helen Fisher, she was on a podcast recently talking about the fact that our brains can only handle so much, just in general. Like, you can't have too many choices or your brain shuts down. Like, you can't have 30 things you're deciding between and actually make a good logical decision. Totally. And the same thing is true with dates. So she says you can only handle a certain amount of partners at a time. Like, you can't date 10 people at a time. You can date 9. That's what she
said. That's the number?
Well, she said the brain has a sweet spot between 5 and 9, and after that, you just can't choose anything. But the thing that I thought was fascinating that she talked about is our natural instincts, our evolutionary instincts around why we are so negative in general. So she said, when you go on a date, try to say yes to things that you'd want to say no to that just don't matter. I'm not talking about like your date being a jerk or like you don't like them. It's like the things that we do. Oh, I don't like the way they dress. Why did he say that expression? Right. It's so dorky. And here's why.
Think of reasons to say yes. The brain is built to say no. We've got this huge brain region linked with what we call negativity bias. The brain is built to think of the negative. For example, let's say we all go to a party and everybody says, oh, Emily, you look so great and this and that. And then somebody says, Emily, have you lost too much weight? What are you going to remember? Just that.
Yeah.
I mean, for millions of years, it was adaptive to remember who did not like you. If you forget who doesn't like you, you could be dead. So
right,
we remember the negative. So when you go out with somebody, you know, on the first date, think of reasons to say yes. You know, overlook the fact that he's got brown shoes instead of black shoes, that he's wearing a t-shirt instead of a tie.
If our brains didn't work that way, there would be no Seinfeld episodes at all.
No, you're right. or text line. To this show, I will read 100 texts in the course of a night, and if 99 of them are like, love the show, contributing, there's one person who's like, you guys are idiots. And I can't stop thinking about that one guy.
Well, I was thinking of with Seinfeld, how it's like, you know, she has man hands. I don't want to go out with her again. She's a low talker. I don't want to go out with her again. And everybody has either experienced that or had a friend tell them about a date they went on where it's like, oh, I'm not going out with him again because when he ate his food, he held the fork in a funny way.
Right.
Or like she said, like, oh, his shoes are weird. I went out with this guy. His shoes look like 2 baked potatoes. I was like, I don't want to go out with this guy with the baked potato shoes. But it's an interesting concept because I always feel like I either like someone or I don't, like whether it's someone I'm going to be friends with or it's going to be a date. And that's what I always say. But if I really think about it, I've had a couple situations where I have kind of had to get to know someone, A, because I worked with them. This was a long time ago, and started off hating this guy I worked with in Japan, ended up being super good friends to the point where we were traveling together. That had never happened to me before. There was someone who asked me out and I said, no, I was not interested. We became friends. 3 months later, we started dating and it was like one of the loves of my life. So I guess I'm wrong about myself, which people always tell you in society, follow your gut, follow your heart. Well, maybe your heart and your gut are wrong because your heart and your gut are based on your life's experiences. Maybe you had a bad childhood. Maybe a relationship screwed you up. And so you have bad patterns, but you think you're just being true to yourself. How do you know?
Most of the time, your mind and gut, I don't think they do match up. A lot of times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's always things that you use to shoulda, woulda, couldas on situations like, ah, man, I should have done that or, you know. But hindsight's also, you know, 2020 is easier to look back. I love this article and what you're talking about because I know the older that I have gotten, the older. Now, in my 20s, I would be on here like, I'm telling you guys right now, I can do way more than 9. Very easy. Very easy. Uh-huh. I mean, I really could do that. Oh, boy. The older you get, oh, it just does not work. And sometimes I think the dating site can get overwhelming for some, right? It can just kind of be information overload. And Rachel Bell, you made a good point in the beginning talking about people being in the restroom and swiping through. Because I think that if someone's like, I don't like the way they held that fork. Hey, need to go to the restroom. And then they go to the restroom and they're swiping.
Yeah.
They know that they have options when they go to that restroom. They know.
So when she says you can only handle 9 at a time, she's not talking about juggling 9 people. She's saying once you hit 9 people, then invest in a couple of them and go out with them a couple more times before you throw them all away and move on to like the next 9. So she's saying like check it out a little bit. And again, if you really hate somebody, you don't, it's not good advice.
Right.
But if you're kind of like, oh, they were nice, but there wasn't anything that really like caught me, just maybe go one more time. And I would never do that because I'm like, I know. Mm-hmm. But honestly, though, when I would give it another try, I was always right.
I did read in there the part about the maybe, right? Like what you're saying. If it's a maybe, then you should try it again.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying. I mean, and I do believe that. You should try it again if it's a maybe.
It's always good to give people the benefit of the doubt, to assume, you know, the best of someone. And yeah, I think this is great advice. And some of my favorite things, like whether it's people or music or whatever, food, I hate it at first.
Yeah.
And then there's something about going through, like doing the work of getting to know something or someone that, I don't know, I think pays off.
That's like with TV shows and songs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm that way. At first, it never hits me. Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the first two episodes, and I told everybody, that is the worst show. Do not watch that show. Well, it's top three shows of all time for me.
Wow.
I love Sons of Anarchy. Wow. That was my show.
I like knowing that the reason that our brain says no is evolutionary, because it kind of makes me feel like it's not my fault. But then it makes me feel like I can actually work with it, because then it's not like, oh, this is how I am. Deal with it. It's like, oh, that's something that's happening in our brains, and I can actually try to break that pattern now that I know that it's not my personality, that it's just my humanness, and, you know, it's millions of years after, I don't need that anymore.
Right.
But when I heard this morning, I actually was like, oh, this is actually going to be very good for me, like in a therapeutic way, to know this.
One last thing, I'll leave it this one. The one of the mistakes that I used to make younger was if they were like perfect or too good, or like things were like right, like they do what they say and everything, I thought that was weird.
Right.
Oh, so you kind of sought a little bit of chaos.
Yes. Things yes.
Too, this is too good. Yeah,
too good. I needed a little bit of weirdness, some arguments. Yep. I needed that tension to really kind of keep the excitement. Weird when you're young, the things you don't know.
Now you know everything.
No, everything. No, now we're just at an age where we know that we don't
know.
Thanks, Rachel Bell.
Thank you.
That's Rachel Bell, everybody. She comes in every single night at 7:30. She is also the host of Your Last Meal. You got to go check that podcast out. You guys are listening to Kyra Knights. Coming up next, we've got Scenarios, G and Mace. To Cairo Knights, everybody. G and Mace means the world. You guys listen to the show. Make sure you join in. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. And we got company, Mace.
Yeah, we do.
Diane Duthweiler is here. She's going to hang out with us for scenarios. Hi, Diane.
Hello. Good evening.
Coming up at 8 o'clock, we're going to talk Monica Lewinsky.
Yes.
Wow. I don't need to say anything after that.
Yeah, people are tuned in. They're staying.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
It's a long one. Dear Kyra Knights, a few months ago, I began dating my friend's sister. It was cool at first. We had good dates and a lot in common. We talked about current events and music, kept it pretty casual. But there was one thing that was kind of weird. She kept saying that I was too nice to her, which I found weird. But then I realized that men around my age, between 25 and 31, are sometimes not nice. She told me I seemed to want something more serious, but that she was more casual about things. I thought, no, we can keep things casual. But soon I realized that I did want something more. I figured if we kept hanging out, she would fall for me like I was for her. Yes, that was wishful thinking. But even after she told me how she felt, we did small things like hold hands and show public display of affection. Now I've been ghosted. She stopped responding to my text messages. I didn't call her, and I don't think I plan on doing it at all. At least I think. I could be wrong, that she's avoiding me in hopes that feelings she may have developed go away. She doesn't want a relationship, but she's falling
for someone she doesn't want to fall for. Right now, she is falling for someone, possibly. So, here's my question. Should I not contact her and just let it be done? Or should I contact her one last time to try? 98973 is Online Trade Academy text line. We got about another 3 minutes into this. I'll go first. Shoot your shot. Contact her. What do you have to lose?
His friend, maybe? It's his friend's sister, right?
Yeah. You know what? Guys don't usually care. As long as you're cool with the sister, usually guys don't care if, I mean, do they? Nice to the sister.
I can't. Yes, they care.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. Well, you can't speak for everybody.
Sure.
But I mean, it's kind of, I mean, what is your friend, your friends, your sister? I don't know.
Okay, I say this. My take on it is she's kind of seeing someone else right now. I say wait it out. You know, she'll get tired of the other person. Wait it out. If it's right, it's always right. So just wait it out. And yeah, nothing horrible's happened. Your friendship's okay, right?
Yeah, there's just a lot of questions I have about this. I feel like he brought up like the age difference may have been something, but I'm not exactly sure what that is. That he's not sure if she feels this way or is talking with this person. Or there's just a billion question marks here. And so if you're that out of the loop, it's for two reasons. One, because you didn't ask any questions. Or two, she's keeping you out of it, which means she's moved on. She's doing something else. So if that's the situation, that's the situation. I don't have a problem with hitting her up and being like, hey, so what's the deal exactly? But just be prepared to
not get a straight answer.
Yep. Sounds like it.
DB?
I say just let it go. I don't know. There's too many weird variables with it, of her being your friend's sister and all this stuff. And I think the fact that she was sort of outright about not wanting it to be a sort of relationship thing, not wanting it to go any further, shows you several things. She doesn't like you that much. She likes someone else, or she's seeing someone else, or she just doesn't want to be seeing a person right now. Yep. And I, you know, that's obviously within her right. And I think just chill, just let it be.
Text coming in. 253 says, once she has said you're too nice, it's not good. But if he acts interested in someone else, she'll come back. 360 says, don't contact. If you contact her, you are pandering. Absence make the heart grow stronger. 425 also says right here, at least do one more contact to find out for sure. Are we done?
425, dude, you're dreaming. She's not into you. 562, bye, Felicia.
Yeah.
Shoot your shot, baby. Shoot your shot. One more time. We good. Come up next, we talk Monica Lewinsky. That's all I need to say. Kara Knights, GMAs.